And we're holding the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We talked yesterday about different ways in which you could have a person doing a job for you, and one of them is kibolus, which in English would be called a contract, namely where you're not paying the person by the hour or by the pay period or whatever. Rather, you're paying him for the job as a whole, and he does the job. He does the job on his own time. He decides, he makes his own hours, and just the deal is that you want the thing by, so you want the finished product by a certain time. So now let's talk about some dinim with that. Amar Shmuel, mekabli kibolus, if you give a goy a job to do with kibolus, like in an arrangement like that, where you're paying him for the job, b'soichat chum oser. If that takes place, if he's doing the work within the tchum, then it would be also chutz l'tchum mutter. But if he does it outside the tchum, it would be mutter. Now Rashi explains that we're talking about where the job that you're giving him, we're talking about on Shabbos. So therefore, so the problem with giving him work on Shabbos, the problem with giving him work where he's going to end up doing the work on Shabbos. Now, if you were paying him by the hour or whatever, for sure there would be a problem with it. Then there's not even within the tchum or outside the tchum. But the problem is, even though it's kibolus, if he does it on Shabbos, people are going to think that he gave him the work to do on Shabbos itself, that he told the goy to do on Shabbos itself, to do the work, and that would be also. So therefore, outside the tchum, nobody's going to be there in order to see it. So therefore, there's no problem. Now, Rashi points out in that case, what about though? We have a whole discussion about this concept in Masechta Shabbos. You have Machlokes Beshamai Beshillel on the subject. For example, are you allowed to give laundry to a goyish, a laundry person before Shabbos? And the halacha is like Beshillel that you can. So what's the difference? So Rashi says the difference is that when he's doing laundry, it's not noticeable. Nobody realizes that he's doing your laundry for you. Therefore, there's no chashad. Here we're talking about something that's noticeable. Now, Tosfos gets into a discussion that not necessarily. Tosfos over here and in several other places in Shas brings Rabbi Natan that says, "Oh, starting from the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph." So Tosfos brings up an opinion of Rabbi Natan that there's no difference. We see, for example, that same Gemara and Shabbos, for example, talks about that you're allowed to, let's say, put in wheat into a mill before Shabbos, and the mill works automatically on Shabbos. We're talking about one of these ones that's turned by water or something. And you're allowed, even though, so the malacha is being done on Shabbos, and it even makes a noise, and still it's mutter. So Tosfos gets into a discussion about the ins and outs of that, what exactly is and isn't mutter on Shabbos. One way of looking at it is, when you think about it, when you give the job to a goy in a way of kablonos, or kibolos, as we said over here in the Gemara, then what it means is, in effect, the goy is doing it for himself, because you just want the thing. To put it in modern terms, to give a modern example, let's say you bring in your car to a mechanic. You don't care whether he does the work before Shabbos or on Shabbos. As long as you gave it with enough time that he could have done it before Shabbos, then if he's doing it on Shabbos itself, that's his business. He decided that it'll be more convenient for him to do it then. So Tosfos discusses that actually all Gemara may be talking about, not as far as Shabbos, but rather we're talking about a case where a person is in Avelos, where we talked about yesterday. We had the opinion of Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, and we backed it up with a Braisa that said that while a person is in Avelos, then you're not he's not supposed to be having Malacha done for him. And we said there might even be a reason to be Machmer on a Velos over even Chalamoyed on the grounds that Avelos is Dirabanan, and therefore we want to be Machmer on it. The Chum wanted to be Machmer on it in order to strengthen the Gzeira. So the idea would be then that if it's taking place outside the Tchum, nobody is there in order to see it. So therefore there's no problem with it. Different Rishonim talk about a lot of different possibilities over here about possible distinctions between different kinds of work. For example, you know, based on what Tosfos is saying about the goy doing it for himself versus for you, there might be a difference, for example, between work, like let's say working on a field or as a sharecropper, where the goy himself gets a percentage of the crop, versus, for example, doing work, let's say building a house or something, where he himself doesn't get, he gets paid for the job, obviously, but he's not actually getting part of the product itself. Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara continues. Even when we say that it's allowed, when it's outside the tchum, that still only works only if there's no other town that's near there. So in other words, these goyish workers are working out in the middle of nowhere. There's no town within a tchum Shabbos, if they were, let's say. But if there's a town nearby there, then the problem is it would still be also, because then, again, the people from your town may not go there and see the goy doing malacha for you on Shabbos, but people from the different town will, and they're going to see that work is being done for you. Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about specifically where it's noticeable, that we're talking about on a regular Shabbos, and we're talking about where it's noticeable that this work is being done on behalf of a Yid, and according to Tosfos, we may be talking about during the time of his Avelos. So Aval Ikum Masad Makaival Hasim, if there's a city nearby there where people can come from there and see these goyish workers doing work, and they're gonna think that you gave it to them on Shabbos, then that would be also as well. Amr of Masharshia, and Rav Masharshia says there's another condition as well. Bechi Lekam Masad Makaival Hasim Nami, even if there's no other town near there, also Loyamoran Elab Shabbosis of Yom Tovim. We're talking about only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Again, according to Rashi, any Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to Tosfos, Davka ones during Avelos, Deloy Shchichi Inchi Da'azli Lahasam. Because you don't commonly have people coming, because you're not going to be able to have anybody coming there, because it's outside the tchum of any city. It's outside the tchum of your city. It's outside the tchum of any other city. So therefore, no Jews are going to be able to come there. So therefore, nobody's going to see anything going on. But when it comes to Chol HaMoed, the Shchichi Inchi, the Azli, the Azul, the Hasam, where on Chol HaMoed, you have people are allowed to travel on Chol HaMoed. So you do have people who are going over there and are going to see Osir. So then, even then, it would be Osir, because again, people are going to think that you gave it to the Goy to do on Chol HaMoed. According to Tosfos, we're talking about on Chol HaMoed doing Avelos. Tosfos actually asks the question, if we're talking about a time of Avelos, then why are we distinguishing between Shabbos and Yom Tov versus Chol HaMoed? What's the difference? Avelos is Avelos. So Tosfos leaves it as Tzorech Iyun, actually, on that explanation, that it would be in the time of Avelos. Other Mephoshim point out, anyway, you don't really have Avelos during Chol HaMoed anyway. We're going to learn in the third parak of Or Masechta, we're going to talk about the Dinim of Avelos at great length. Where if a person becomes an oval during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed, then the Avelos is pushed off until after Yom Tov. So as far as that, there are Mephoshim that answer that there's a difference between Dvorim Shebe Fahesya and Dvorim Shebe Tzina. The same way, for example, as an oval on Shabbos. So on Shabbos itself, the oval is, the Avelos is suspended. Nevertheless, the oval is still also in Dvorim Shebe Tzina, in things that take place in private. So the same way over here, where even though Chol HaMoed, the Avelos is not taking effect yet, we're not talking about where it was canceled by Yom Tov, that we'll deal with also in the third parak. We're talking about where, let's say, the person is an oval during became an oval during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed itself. Fine, the actual Shiva is pushed off until after Yom Tov, but nevertheless, there's an argument to be made that during Chol HaMoed, at least the things Dvarim Shiva Tzina that apply during Chol HaMoed, that apply during Shiva would apply during Chol HaMoed as well, and therefore that would include having people do work for him. This whole point of having a goy do work for you is actually a very complex topic. There are a lot of different details about it in Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, of the details of when exactly you're allowed and not allowed to have a goy be doing malacha for you. Among the distinctions are, like we said right here in the Gemara, the distinction between whether people are going to be able to come by and see it. There's the distinction that Rashi made between whether people will notice and be able to say this is a job being done for a yid. For example, again, when let's say they're working on his field or his house or building his house or whatever, where everybody knows that this is his property. And then there are a bunch of other distinctions that are brought up in that regard as well. Okay, so the Gemara tells a case. Mazutra b'edir of Nachman bonule apadna makabli kibolos chutzatchum. Mazutra b'edir of Nachman, he had workers building for him in apadna, which is a big mansion or palace. They did it in kibolos. They did it as they're being paid for the job, and it was outside the tchum. So far sounds good. It was outside the tchum. What's the problem? But And again, you have different understandings among Rishonim. What exactly was the scenario over here? Was it on Shabbos and he didn't tell them to do the work, but they were doing it anyway? Or is it on Chol HaMoed? Anyway, so Iklar of Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina visited the area. V'loy olu l'gabei, they would not go into the building. So if we say that it was on Shabbos, So whether we say that it was on Shabbos or whether we say it was during Chol HaMoed, because it was built, the Isser, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, what was the Isser? We just said that if it's outside the Tchum, it's Mutter, so they didn't want to go into it. So if we said that it was built on Shabbos, then it was outside the Tchum. We just said it should be Mutter, so we'll see in a second. If we say it was built Chol HaMoed, then it means, in other words, that because it was built the Isser, therefore they're not going into it. So the Ikadamni Hunami like all the Gabay. Others say not only Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina wouldn't go into the building, even Mazutra himself, who had contracted for the building, wouldn't go into it because of the Isser that had been involved. So Gemara says, what do you mean? What's the Isser? Amar Shmuel mekabli kibolos b'secha tchum also chot l'tchum mutter. Didn't we just say that it's mutter if it's inside, if it's outside the tchum? And the answer is Adam Choshev Shaini. An important person is different. People are more likely to learn from him. So therefore, even though it was chutz l'tchum, nevertheless, since he's an Adam Choshev, he should have been careful. Other people are likely to learn from him and to start being careless. So if we say that it was built on Shabbos, then it means even though we had all our bases were covered, it was outside the tchum, and we said it should be mutter because at that point nobody is going to come by to see. Nevertheless, he should have been extra careful not to allow the workers to do the work on Shabbos at all, because he's an Adam Choshev. If we say it's Chol HaMoed, then okay, we just said that if it's doing Chol HaMoed, then again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about that we're talking about it during a time of Avelus. So we could have still been Makel. We could have said, okay, you know, the fact is we shouldn't have had them build it during Chol HaMoed, but once it's built, it's a done deal already. Nevertheless, we're saying that they were still Makel.
There's no Havamina over here. There's no question what the Havamina was, what his Havamina was.
His Havamina of Pashtos was he had given them the work to do. He didn't tell them specifically to stop on Shabbos. Again, we just said that if it was on Shabbos, for example, he's not obligated to. If it's outside the Tchum, because again, we said the same way as, for example, you can bring your car to a mechanic before Shabbos and tell him, yeah, and as long as there's enough time before that he could have done it outside of Shabbos, then you don't care if he does it on Shabbos. This may have been the same kind of thing.
And the Shehiyah, waiting enough time that he could have built it again?
Because not a matter where you say b'chdeshi yosu, that's when you have a yid does malacha on Shabbos, then in some cases we say you wait b'chdeshi yosu. Here, the point was, because it was a building on his property, and there's a certain parhesia to it, so therefore, so we're saying, according to one opinion, only those other amiroyim were machmer not to go into it, apparently ever, and according to the second opinion, even he was machmer. Again, we're not saying they were required to api halacha, but Adam Choshev Shaini, they have to hold themselves to a higher standard. The Ikka D'Amri, another version is, actually it's not just that he left the job to them. Another version is Sayui Saya V'tivna Ba'adayu. Another version is that actually he did help them out, namely that he gave them straw. as we know from Parashas Shmos, they used to, when they made bricks, they would put straw into them. So he had given them a supply of straw. So in other words, it's different than a classic kibolus is you give them the job and they go get all the materials for themselves. Here, Marzutra, the owner of the building, the one who contracted with them the job, actually gave them some of the supplies. So therefore, that might be more reason to be machmir and to say that therefore he should have been extra careful then not to have them do the work on Shabbos or on Chol HaMoed, as the case may be, because after all, he's actually giving them some of the supplies and therefore it's not really classic kibolus. Therefore, he has a certain connection, a certain deeper connection with the job. So according to that second explanation, then it's not a matter of Adam Choshev or not, it's a matter of that he actually sort of participated by providing them supplies. Okay. Another case, Rav Chama Shara Lahu La Avungari de Beiresh Kalusa Lamevit Lahu Ivita Bachola de Moyada. Rav Chama gave a heter to the avungari of the household of the Resh Kalusa, and we'll explain in a second what avungari is. He gave them permission, Lamevit Lahu Avita Bachola de Moyada, to do work on Chol HaMoed. So Rashi explains that. Omar, he said, "Kiven de agar loikashakli," because these people are not actually getting paid. Shaushuyi who to come a shaushule. All they're doing is they're getting revach ba'alma. They're just getting a little bit. They're getting a little something extra. They're getting enough to be able to buy themselves food. They're getting kedei sudasan. Because the fact is, they eat together with the family, with their household of the Resh Kalusa, the Leslan Bas, so therefore that wouldn't be a problem of Malacha and Chol HaMoed. Now, what are these Avungari? Rashi explains that it means Misadre Shochanos, means people who would fix tables and who would fix tables and furniture for the household of the Resh Kalusa. So they're Jews. So now, if let's say a table broke during Chol HaMoed, then Rav Chama would say they're allowed to fix it because the point was they're not actually getting paid for the work. They're only getting to eat on the table that they fixed. They're getting to eat with the household of the Resh Kalusa. Now, according to that, it comes out, in other words, that so we're talking what they're doing is actual malacha, and we're saying the heter for it is because they're not. Yeah, because we're saying the heter for it is because that malacha they're not getting paid for. They're just getting a meal out of it. So it's not really considered paying. There's a great deal of discussion among the Rishonim about various other possibilities over here. A couple of the Rishonim bring up the possibility, the Ritva, among others, brings up the possibility one that maybe these Avungari are Goyim, and therefore it goes together with what we were just saying about Mekabli Kibolus. So we're saying you're allowed to have Goyim work for you where you're not actually paying them, where you're just afterwards they can sit down for a meal with you. However, the Ritva doesn't really like that explanation because he says the expression that it says Rav Chama allowed the Avungari to do their job, that wouldn't really fit if these people are Goyim. Then the phrasing should have been that he allowed the Resh Kalusa to have Avungari working for him. So there are different Rishonim that talk about that these Avungari are not actually doing a Malacha per se on Chol HaMoed. They're setting the tables. They're setting the tables. They're serving as waiters or whatever. So if that's the case, then what's the problem? Why that's not a malacha at all? Why would there be an issue? The issue is that the very fact that you're paying somebody for work on Chol HaMoed itself creates a problem. That makes it more of a kvius. That itself makes it more of a malacha, the fact that you're paying them. So therefore, Rav Chama is saying in this case, you're not actually paying them, so therefore it's fine. There's also some of the Mefoshim talk about that when we say over here that they don't get the agar like a shakli, a little different than Rashi that says that they ate together with them. Rather, what it is they're working off their debt. So these would be people, in other words, who had previously borrowed money from the Resh Kalusa. They didn't have enough money to pay back. So now they're working off their debt. Every time they're serving, every time they're setting the tables or serving as waiters or whatever, then they're working off part of their debt. That would be mutter. But if they're actually getting paid, then that itself would create a problem. And the idea would be, in other words, exactly that. When you're paying somebody to do a job on Chol HaMoed, that itself makes it more uvdin dechol. That itself makes it gives it more of a kvius. It gives it more of a chashivus. And therefore, even if the work itself is something that in and of itself would have been mutter on Chol HaMoed, then the payment transforms it into something that's not. Which in that case, the post can talk about that if the worker, if we're talking about ein loy mayochol, if we're talking about the worker doesn't have money to put food on his table, then you're allowed to. Then we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. And later in the Masechta, that you have cases where a person doesn't have money to put food on his table, then you're allowed to hire him for a job on Chol HaMoed and pay him. But here we're not talking about these people weren't in such a situation. Therefore, the fact that they're doing the law, therefore the fact that they're working on Chol HaMoed would have been an issue that you're paying them, were it not for the fact that you're not actually paying them, that as Rashi says, they're just getting to eat with you, or as some of the other Mephoshim say, that they're just working off their debt. More on this topic, Tanan Abanan, Mekablan Kibolus B'moyed La'asosa La'achar HaMoyed, you're allowed to accept a Kibolus, again, a job where you're paying the person by the job, you're allowed to receive that on Chol HaMoyed, La'asosa La'achar HaMoyed, where the plan is it's going to be done after Chol HaMoyed. Rashi says, we're talking about over here, like we were saying before, where you give a goy, you contract with a goy to do a certain job, and he's going to start it after Chol HaMoyed. That would be mutter. Uvam moyed osir, but on Chol HaMoed itself, it would be osir to have him do the work because, as we said before, we're talking about the kind of work where it's mefursam, where it's obvious that he's doing it for a Jew. He's doing it on a Jew's property or something. And we said during Chol HaMoed, there's not even the thing about outside the tchum or within the tchum because during Chol HaMoed, people can travel, and therefore you couldn't have him do it during Chol HaMoed. Klola shel davar, the general rule is. Kol shehu oisa, anything that you yourself would be allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, oimer l'nochri v'oisa, then on Chol HaMoed you're allowed to tell a goy to do it for you. V'chol she'ena oisa, anything that you yourself couldn't do on Chol HaMoed, ein oimer l'nochri v'oisa, then you're not allowed to tell a goy to do it either. Now again, according to Rashi at the top of the Amud, that's not an absolute rule because, for example, we said that even when it comes to Shabbos, you're allowed to give laundry to a goy before Shabbos, and he does it on Shabbos, and that's not your problem because he could have done it before or after Shabbos, as the case may be. But there, the point is, again, that there it's not mefursam, it's not obvious. You know, people don't pass by and see the goy doing laundry and say, look, he's doing a yid's laundry. It's not so obvious that the clothes that he's washing belong to a yid, as opposed to we were talking about before, where, let's say, building a building or doing other things like that, where it's more noticeable. Tanya Idach, we learn in another Braisa, Mekablan Kibolas B'moyed. Again, you're allowed to, you draw up a contract, you're allowed to set up a contract on Chol HaMoed, La'asosa La'achar HaMoed, where the contract is going to be fulfilled after Chol HaMoed. Again, we're talking about having a goy do it. Uvelvad Shela Yimdod, Shela Yishko, Shela Yimne, provided that on Chol HaMoed itself, you're not measuring out or weighing or counting out something for the job, because you don't want to act like you're doing on weekdays. Again, even we're talking about the actual job is going to be done after Chol HaMoed, but the very fact that right now you're weighing or measuring or whatever, even though weighing and measuring in and of themselves are allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed, but over here you're doing them as preparation for a job to be done after Chol HaMoed, so therefore it comes into the category of Uvdin D'Choyl, where now you're treating Chol HaMoed too casually, you're treating it more like a weekday, and therefore that would be a problem. Okay, Tanan Abanan, we learn in another Braisa. Ein Marbiyin Behema B'Chula Shel Moed. You're not allowed to cause an animal to mate on Chol HaMoed. So Rashi explains that it's because of malacha, which, again, the question is, what kind of a malacha? It's not really one of the 39 malachas having an animal be bred. So some of the other mephoshim say that it's not so much that, it's more a matter of tircha. And there is some discussion about, are we talking about davka, a female animal, or are we talking about a male animal as well? Maybe a female animal, there's more tircha involved, having her be receptive to the male, whereas maybe the other way around is not, according to that, would not be such a tircha. So you're not allowed to breed an animal on Chol HaMoed. Kayotzeboy, similarly, ein marbiyin b'bechor v'loy b'psulei hamikdashin. Similarly, you're not allowed to breed an animal which is a bechor, or where there obviously we are talking about a male, but again, does that apply to Chol HaMoed as well? That's the discussion. and also not an animal of psulei hamukdashin, an animal that once was a korban and now became posel, and now you redeemed it. So a bechur, you're not allowed to do malacha with. Loi saved bechur sherecha, the pasuk says. So therefore, so again, now breeding it would be considered a malacha. That's according to Rashi's shita that we're talking about. That we're talking that it's a malacha. According to the other rishonim, we say the problem of doing it on chalom moed is a matter of tircha. Then the idea would be, in other words, that there's a difference in lashon kodesh between malacha and avoida. So malacha, for example, we know you have the 39 malachas of Shabbos. Not all of those involve tircha. You think about it, for example, let's say, you know, classic example nowadays, clicking on a light switch is not a tircha, of course, but it is a malacha. You're creating something that didn't exist before. As opposed to avoida means something that involves actual work. So the argument would be over here that we're not to that breeding an animal might not be malacha, like Rashi says. However, it is avoida, and the pasuk says lo savod b'vchor sherecha. So therefore, so that would be a reason to answer it, because you're doing avoida with it. And the same thing with psulei hamukdashin, because you're not allowed to do avoida with such animals either. An interesting point, actually, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, is that psulei hamukdashin, an animal of psulei hamukdashin, itself is considered almost like kelayim, because you have those. It's partially chulin and partially kodesh. It's chulin in the sense that you are allowed to shecht it and eat it. You can't bring it as a korban anymore because it's balmum or what have you. On the other hand, it has a certain residual kedusha. You're not allowed to milk it. You're not allowed to shear it and use the wool, etc. So therefore, it's like two animals in one, and in that sense, the Gemara discusses in some places that it itself is considered kilayim. But here, we're not focusing on that aspect of it. We're just saying the fact that you're doing avoda with it, you're not allowed to do avoda with psulei hamukdashin. Therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to. Tanya idach. Then we learn in another braisa. Ein marbin behema b'chula shel moed. You're not allowed to breed an animal on chol moed. Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda says there's an exception. Chamorda shatova, if a female donkey is in heat and it wants to be mated, marbiyin alei azachar, then you are allowed on chalamoyed to have a male mate with it, b'shvil shalotit stanim, in order that it doesn't get cooled off. What happens is, in other words, that donkeys particularly are very prone to being cold. The expression the Gemara has elsewhere is chamorda filo b'tkufas tamuz kriralei, that a donkey feels cold even in the heat of the summer. In fact, in Chassidus, many times it explains that many times in Gemara and in Halacha, when we talk about a chamur, we're actually talking about on a ruchnistic level, on an avoda level, we're talking about the problem of having us feeling a certain coldness towards other kurs and towards things of kedusha. So a donkey is kind of a symbol for that. So now what happens is this donkey, this female donkey, has gone into heat. It's in the mood for breeding. If you don't do it, then it's going to get cooled off. And then Mephoshim explained, the point is it may never get into heat again. And then you have a big hefset like this. You would have had this female donkey that you're going to be able to breed it and get baby donkeys from it. Like this, if you don't take advantage of the first time and every time that it goes into heat, for it to be bred right away, then it's going to lose that. It's going to eventually, that taiva is going to go away, and it's going to cool off, and it's never going to have it again, and you're going to have a hefsek. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would allow it, because we've said a few times already in the Masechta that where you have davar ha'avod, where you have something which is going to be lost, if you don't do it on chol hamoed, then you're allowed to. Ush'ar kol ha'behemes, continues Rabbi Yehuda, all other animals where you don't have that problem, even if you don't breed them this time, you'll breed them next time that they're in the mood, then fine. Well, you can't breed them on chol hamoed, but machnisin oisim labakorus, what you do is you can bring them into the area where the other animals are, and chances are that one of them will mate with it. So that you're allowed to do, but not to actually make one of them mate with it. We learn in a braisa another din about handling animals. Ein medayrin, you're not allowed to fertilize a field, which means, to be exact, medayrin means meloshin deer, where you make a pen for the animals in the field, and they wander around over there in the field. They're eating grass or whatever. And meanwhile, every so often, they're expelling waste, which then becomes fertilizer for the field. So that kind of thing is called medayrin, where you're ending up now the field is getting fertilized by their droppings as they walk around the field. You're not allowed to do that. Lo b'shabbosis for yamim tovim, lo b'chol shomoyed. You're not allowed to do that Shabbos or Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. The imbo me'elehen mutter. If the animals came into the field by themselves and start producing droppings, then that's fine. The ein messiah no son, but you're not allowed to assist them, to assist the animals to come into the field. Or Rashi describes also if you have goyim that are taking care of the animals, you can't help them move the animals around in different places. The ein moisrim lahem shomer l'nayra tzonam. You can't give them you can't appoint a watchman to be over there to watch the sheep. To lenair sonam to lenair the sheep. Rashi says lenair just means to watch the sheep. The Rambam understands that what it means is to make the sheep have to wander around more of the field. Like this, for example, they might, without you doing anything, they'd stay in one part of the field. They'll drop a lot of fertilizer over there, but then a different part of the field won't have very much. So normally on a weekday, you would want, well, now you're going to move them around. You're going to force them to move around from one area of the field to the other so that eventually the whole field gets fertilized. We're saying on Shabbos and Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to have a shomer to do that. Continues the Braisa. Im hoya schir Shabbos, schir chodesh, schir shana, schir shavua. If though the goy that you hired to watch the sheep is being paid by the week or by the month or by the year or by the Shemitah cycle, then Messiah, son, then you are allowed to help them, because then at that point the flock of sheep is considered as if it belonged to the goy. And you are allowed to give them a shomer, to give the sheep a shomer in order to move the animals around, in order to watch them, because you're not actually hiring the guy on Shabbos itself. You just hired him for the entire week, and now Shabbos is included in it, or the entire month, or what have you. Rebbe Omer, but Shabbos Batova, Rebbe says it depends. If you want to help out the guy, if you want to help him on Shabbos, then it can only be Batova, it can only be that you're helping him for free. The Yom Tov Bimizonis, if you have somebody who wants to help that hired worker, if it's on Yom Tov, then he's allowed to do it, even where he's going to be getting food out of it, like we had the case with the Avungari before, where on Chol HaMoed, that was where they were getting food. So now Rebbe is saying, if you want to help these workers on Yom Tov, then you're allowed to do it even where the deal is that the balabas, that the owner of the sheep, is going to give you food. But moyed b'schar, and if it's on Chol HaMoed, then you're even allowed to do it where you expect that afterwards the owner is going to pay you. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hilchasak Rebbe, and Rabbi Yosef says the halacha is like Rebbe. Now Rashi explains, again, that Rebbe's statement is referring to the Sefer, where we're saying that if you have workers, that if you have goyish workers that are hired to watch the sheep and get them to fertilize the field on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or whatever, then it's mutter. There are some of the other mafoshim explain that actually we're talking about the resha of the braisa. We were saying that the Tanakhama had said you're not allowed to have them fertilize the field on Shabbos or Yom Tov, etc. And Rebbe is saying that it depends. On Shabbos, you're allowed to have them do it for free. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to have them do it where all they're getting for it is food, and so forth. Okay. Mishnah says, we learned in the previous Mishnah, we had the case where a person was getting ready to press his olives, and then something happened. Then he became an oval, or there was an onus, or the workers backed down on him, and now what does he do? So we said that during Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Yehuda had said he can only begin the pressing, just so he doesn't lose all the olives, so they don't get moldy. And then after Yom Tov, he can finish it. And Rabbi Yosef says, and Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yosi the Tana says that he can finish off the job as usual. So now the Mishnah continues. The same way, if a person had his wine in the pit, so Rashi describes that a bird over here doesn't really mean a pit. What it means is you press the grapes, and you press the grapes, and then the juice flows from there into the gas which is where it ferments to become to become wine. So now you have the wine was in the first stage over there. Again, you pressed it, and now you didn't have the chance to actually let it go into the gas in order to in order or actually the other way around to be exact. Rashi says that you have the gas is where you press the grapes. Then they go into an area called the burr. And now, so from there is where you from there is where the rest of the pressing and the fermentation, the wine is going to take place. So you have it's over there. So it's already the processing of it has already begun. The ira evil or onus, and then the person becomes an oval or an onus happens. Oshehituhu, or the workers back out on him. So zolaf begoma begof kadarke divir of yosi. So Rabbi Yossi says, like he said in the previous Mishnah, fine, he can finish it off. He can finish off the processing, empty the wine into the barrels, and that zolif is to empty them out, the gomer, and finish off getting all the wine out of the burr into the barrels, the gof kedarke, and then he can seal up the barrels like normal. Divir Rabbi Yossi, that's what Rabbi Yossi says, just like in the previous Mishnah, he allowed you to do that during Chol HaMoed. Again, we were saying, if he planned to do it during Chol HaMoed, then it would be also, but because he planned to do it before Chol HaMoed, and then in between there was a velos, so an onus or something, and he couldn't, then Rabbi Yossi is allowing him to finish off the job normally during Chol HaMoed. Divir Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, oysa lo limudim v'shvur shalo yachmiz. All he can do, he can't seal up the barrels like normal. All he can do is cover them with limudim, wooden boards. So he can just do that in order that it doesn't spoil. Because if he doesn't close it, it's going to spoil. It's going to be sour. It's going to turn to vinegar. But he's not allowed to smear the barrels closed with clay as he usually does. Tosfos, first of all, points out, so what did we have in the previous Mishnah? Now, the Gemara is going to explain why we need both Mishnayos, why we need one Mishnah about oil and another one about wine. We'll get to that in a second in the Gemara. But in any case, so why in the previous Mishnah we have first Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yossi, and now we have first Rabbi Yossi, then Rabbi Yehuda. So Tosfos says what happened was we started with Rabbi Yehuda, then we went to Rabbi Yossi. Once Rabbi Yossi said his opinion by oil, then we also continue quoting him by wine. So in other words, this is one long statement that he's making about both oil and wine that you're allowed to do it normally. Then we go back and we explain that Rabbi Yehuda argues in that case as well, and we're going to have to point that out for reasons that we're going to say in the Gemara. Tosfos points out, though, when we say this part about the gulf that you're allowed to, according to Rabbi Yossi, to seal it shut, are we talking about when the wine is still in the burr, or are we talking about after the wine has been transferred into barrels? On the face of it, barrels are what you seal up with gulf. On the other hand, the zoilef for gomer implies more that you're putting it into barrels because you don't need zoilef for gulf, you don't need zoilef. The gomer in order to get it into the burr, and also the oyster loyal mudin, the fact when I'm saying you put boards on top of it, on the other hand, suggests that you're talking about a burr, because a barrel you don't cover with limudim, you just put a little cover on it or something. So Tosfos is really unsure whether we're talking about over here, what is Rabbi Yossi allowing you to do? Is he allowing you to leave the wine in the burr and seal that up? And Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't seal it up, you can only cover it with boards. Or are we talking about that even Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to put it in the barrels, but he's saying you can't seal up the barrels like you normally would? Okay. So the Gemara says Utsricha. Now, why do we need both Mishnayos? We had one that says about olive oil and the other one about grapes. So we need both of them. If we only had the first Mishnah about the olives, you would say, you know why Rabbi Yossi says there that he's allowed to finish off the job. Because if the oil is more expensive, and therefore there's going to be a big hefsid, if he's not able to finish the job and the olives are sitting there and eventually they get moldy, then he's going to have a big hefsid. Wine is cheaper, so if he loses his wine, there's not such a big hefsid. Besides the fact also, if wine spoils, it'll become vinegar. Fine, you can't drink vinegar, but you can always use it for salad dressing or something. So at least there's not such a big hefsid. So maybe you would say in the case of wine, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Let the wine spoil, big deal. It's not going to be such a big hefsid, and he can always sell it as vinegar. The Iyashmin and Basraisa. On the other hand, if we only had the second Mishnah, then he would say by Hikamura, maybe only because again, maybe only by wine because it's cheaper and because he could sell it as vinegar. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir. And said you can't finish the job, you can only cover it with limudim, with boards. Aval Bahach, but in the first Mishnah, Ema Moidil Rabbi Yossi. Maybe he would agree with Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to finish the job because with olive oil, which is worth more, there's going to be a, and you can't do, really do anything with rancid oil, then you would think that that he's Moidil to Rabbi Yossi. Tzricha, therefore, we need both Mishnayas to tell us that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi argue in both cases. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba, Man Tana Shinu B'Moyed B'Dover Avod. Which Tana is it that says that when it comes, even when it comes to Dover Avod, which is what we're talking about over here, you don't finish the processing of the wine or of the oil, you're going to have a loss. So which Tana is it that says that you don't, that you need a shinui when you're doing an Anchal HaMoyed? That would be Deloike Rabbi Yossi, not like Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbi Yossi, we're saying in these two Mishnayos that he's allowed to finish the job normally. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, halacha ke Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says the halacha is actually like Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, when you have a davar avod, you don't need to make a shinui. You're allowed to finish the job. You're allowed to do the job the normal way on Chol HaMoed. So now, in this connection, bo minei Rav Nachman Yitzchak, they asked Rav Nachman Yitzchak, ma'ul meisha chavisa de shichra b'chula de moyada. Are you allowed to smear a barrel of beer on Chol HaMoed? So Rashi says the smearing we're talking about is like the gof of our Mishnah. We're talking about smearing clay around the stopper of the barrel to keep the beer inside from getting spoiled. The Ritva brings that the lemesha over here may mean to smear the inside of the barrel with tar in order that the beer gets preserved better, because the tar helps make it, makes it waterproof, and therefore it makes that less air is going to get in there and spoil the beer. Amalahu, sort of Nachmi, by Yitzchak answers, look, Sinai Omar Halacha Rabbi Yosef. After all, Sinai, which is a nickname for Rabbi Yosef, because he was an expert in Mishnayos and Braises, so like he knew the Torah as well as when it was given on Har Sinai. So he said, Halacha Rabbi Yosef. So therefore, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosef. When you have Dover Ovud, then you're allowed to do it normally. Well, if you don't smear the stuff on the barrel, on the outside according to Rashi, or on the inside according to the Ritva, then you're going to have a Dover Ovud. Therefore, you're allowed to. However, the Gemara says, is that necessarily so? Amar d'amar Rabbi Yosi b'chamra. Granted, Rabbi Yosi said that about wine, that you're allowed to do it. B'shichra mi amar. Did he ever say such a thing about beer? Maybe there's no heter for beer. And the Gemara says, no. Chamra taima mayim mishum d'nafesh p'sidei. No, because why would Rabbi Yosi allow you to do it normally by wine? Because you're going to have a certain amount of hefsid. Fine, it's not going to be as much hefsid as oil, but nevertheless, there is going to be a hefsid. Well then, shichranami ispeh p'seda. Well, the same thing with beer also. It's true, it's not going to completely spoil if you don't seal it, if you don't put on the sealant, but nevertheless, there is going to be a hefsid. D'amar Abaya, as Abaya says, omrali aim. My mother told me, the Gemara explains in Kiddushin that this wasn't actually his mother. Abaya's own mother passed away in childbirth. It means the lady who raised him, his foster mother. So we have all over Shas, we have things that we have practical pieces of advice that Abaya quotes from this foster mother of his. Anyway, so she said, Bar Shis Sovi Vashia, if you have a barrel of beer that holds only six sa, but it's smeared with a sealant, is better, mi bar tammi v'loy shia, is better than a barrel that holds eight sa of beer, even though it's much more, which is not sealed, because the quality of the beer in a sealed barrel is much better. So you see, therefore, that if you don't seal it, if you don't put on the sealant on the inside or on the outside, as the case may be, then the beer is then the beer's quality is going to be reduced, and that will be a hefsid, as we're saying. So therefore, since Rabbi Yosi says that when there's a davar avod, you're allowed to do it normally on Chol HaMoed, well then you're allowed to do this normally on Chol HaMoed. Okay. The Gemara points out, now here's a general statement about the halachas of Chol HaMoed. Amar of Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav, Hilchus Moed ki Hilchus Kusim. The halachas of Chol HaMoed are kind of, in a way, like the halachas that the Kusim accepted on themselves. We know that the Kusim, they're these are the people that Sanhedrin brought to repopulate Eretz Yisrael after the Ten Shvatim were taken into Golos. They accepted some mitzvahs, they didn't accept others. They were very inconsistent in what mitzvahs they accepted and didn't accept. So in a way, the dinim of Chol HaMoed are like that. They're very inconsistent. Bahalocha, as far as matters of halacha. So lemayhu. So what does that mean? Regarding what are we talking about? Omer of Daniel Bakhtina, Omer Rab, Loima Shehen Akuros. It means the halachas of Chol HaMoed are like barren. They're like a barren woman where it doesn't have any children. The aim lemedus zumizu, namely you can't learn one from the other. You can't say, just like the Kusim. Now the Kusim, if they were to think to themselves, they would say, well, why are we being inconsistent? Why are we keeping this mitzvah and we're not keeping this other mitzvah which is very closely related to it? But the Kusim never think of such a concept. They keep whatever mitzvahs that they have, Maaseh Avseh and Bi'adeihem, and they ignore other ones. The same way when it comes to Chol HaMoed, Rav Chama Bar Guria is saying that the halachas of Chol HaMoed are very much like that. You have certain inconsistencies. You have a certain thing as mutter during Chol HaMoed, and you have to think to yourself, well, if this is mutter, shouldn't something else similar be mutter as well? But not necessarily. Sometimes we have something which is mutter and something very closely related as osir or vice versa. De'omar Shmuel. So here was an example. Shmuel says, zofsin kuzza ve'ein zofsin chavista. Here was an example. Shmuel says, on Chol HaMoed, you would be allowed to apply tar to a kuzza, which is a small container, ve'en zofsin chavisa, but you would not be allowed to apply tar to a large barrel. Rav Dimi min Ahuda, omar zofsin chavisa, ve'en zofsin kuzza. Rav Dimi min Ahuda says it's actually the other way around. You're allowed to smear tar on a barrel to waterproof it, but not to a small container. So what's the difference? Mar chayish lepseido or mar chayish letircha? Because one of them is factoring in the hefsid of if you have wine or beer or what have you in a barrel and it's not smeared with tar, the contents are gonna spoil over Chol HaMoed. You're gonna have obviously much more hefsid with a whole barrel than you would if it was only a small bottle or a small container. Therefore, so that's why Rav Dimi min Ahuda would say you're allowed to smear a barrel because of the hefsid, but not a bottle, because if the beer in the bottle goes sour over Chol HaMoed, big deal. It's only one bottle. Whereas the other opinion, Shmuel, considers the tircha. There's much more tircha involved in smearing tar on a barrel than there is on a small bottle. Therefore, Shmuel will allow it as the bottle and not the barrel. So there you have an example where you see that's being inconsistent. You would think to yourself, well, if you're allowed one, surely you must be allowed the other as well. Nevertheless, we're seeing that they have their respective opinions that say no. Interestingly, the Rambam paskins that both of them are mutter. So it's an odd thing. Usually you have something like that. Like, how is the Rambam picking two different opinions that we see here in the Gemara are contradicting each other? But the answer is because we're talking about the halachas of Chol HaMoed, which are drabanan, therefore we have reason to be makel. So therefore, the Rambam, in fact, is Mekel like both of them. And that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Omer Abaya. So in this connection, also, Abaya says, Naktinan, we have the Kabbalah from Or Rabbeim, Hilchus Moyed ke Hilchus Shabbos. The halachas of Chol HaMoed, in a certain way, are like the halachas of Shabbos. Yesh mehen potter aval oser. There are things that you're not allowed to do, but it's not osir, namely there's no malchus involved. So for example, we just said, let's say about the smearing tar. So we said, even in the cases where you're not allowed to, there's no actual punishment involved. Now, why taka not? Now, we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, where does the din that you're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed come from? So one possibility, it's dirabanan. Well, if it's dirabanan, then of course there's no statutory punishment for it. There might be makas maudus, but no more than that. So in that sense, it's potter aval osir, like we have many things in Hilchos Shabbos where
It's a fact, but it says Mikoem, and in that case, that's an Esser, and you don't get Malchus for being over on an Esser. Another possibility is even if we learn it from the Pasuk, even if we learn it from a Lois Esser, nevertheless, it would be considered a Lav Shebechlolos. It would be considered a Lav that includes many different things. It includes Yom Tov, and it includes Chol HaMoed, and you don't get Malchus for being over on such a Lav. So therefore, so you have things of Chol HaMoed that are also to do, but there's no punishment. And then you have other things that seem to be very similar, which are mutar lahatchila. So just like we have by Shabbos, sometimes you have a certain thing which you're allowed to do, and then you have something somewhat similar, which is also derabanan. The same way, Abaya is telling us, let's say, as far as the smearing tar on things, we just said there are things that you're allowed to on Chol HaMoed and things that you're not allowed to. So therefore, it's similar to Hilchos Shabbos in that regard. Okay. The Gemara goes on. Rav Huna chotz dolei chatz de b'moyada. Rav Huna had a field of grain, and he had the workers harvested the grain for him on Chol HaMoed. So Esve Rabba Bar Rav Huna l'Rav Huna. So his son Rabba Bar Rav Huna asked him, "How could you do that?" We learn in a Braisa, Teichnin Temach b'Moyad l'Tzarech HaMoyad. You're allowed to grind flour on Chol HaMoed when you need that flour for Chol HaMoed. V'Shaloy l'Tzarech HaMoyad also. But if you don't need Chol HaMoed, then you're not allowed to. Also, if you have something, a dover avud, something which is going to get lost or damaged over Chol HaMoed, then you're allowed to do that malacha. Dover she'ena avud b'moyed also, but if it's not a dover avud, then you're not allowed to. And the Braisa continues, when is this talking about? The tlushim min hakarka, only when the crop or whatever it is detached from the ground. But if it's attached to the ground, even if the whole thing is going to be lost, if you don't do the malacha of harvesting it during Chol HaMoed, then it would be osur. Now, our braisa then is obviously disagreeing with what it said in the first perek. We learned at the beginning of our masechta, we said that the mashkin beis hashochin, for example, that you're allowed to water a field that needs irrigation, because otherwise the whole thing is going to dry up. So our braisa is disagreeing with that and saying that no, anything that's attached to the ground, you're not allowed to do Chol HaMoed. So even though it's davar avod, and the braisa continues, if you don't have what to eat, so you don't have enough flour to be able to eat for Chol HaMoed to make bread, then you are allowed. Then you're allowed to do all the regular malachas. You can harvest and bundle up the grain and thresh it and winnow it and pick out the dirt and whatever and grind it. As long as you don't thresh the grain using cows, which was the usual way. When they had large quantities, they would do that. Smaller quantities, they would just beat them with a stick to break the shells of the grain open. Anyway, the point is, so the Braisa is saying you're not allowed to harvest on Chol HaMoed unless you don't have food to eat. Meaning, in other words, if you don't have food to eat, then we're not going to make you go and buy food from the store. Instead, you can go and harvest from your own field. Now, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna tells his father, Rav Huna, you're not in that situation. We have plenty of food in the house. So how are you allowed to harvest? How are you allowed to have your whole field harvested during Chol HaMoed? Amalei, so Rav Huna answers him, Yechidahi, that Braisa is only a Das Yochid, V'loi Sviravon Kavasah. We don't hold like that Braisa. And we know that it's a Das Yochid, the Tanya, because in fact we learn in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Klal Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel Meshum Rav Yosi. Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the name of Rav Yosi a general rule in these halachas, Dover atolosh min hakarka, when something is already detached from the ground, afilu miktsasei avud mutter, even if it's not that the whole thing is going to get lost, only some of it, then it's mutter. That's why we had an on Mishnah and the previous Mishnah, for example, that Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to do malacha to finish pressing and putting in barrels your wine or your oil during Chol HaMoed, because we said the situation was you couldn't do it before Chol HaMoed and it's going to be a davar avod. So even though it's not the whole thing, it's going to be lost, only part of it, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi is allowing it. But when it's attached to the ground, then it would be also, even if it's completely going to be lost. So we see that Braisa, that's the continuation of the previous Braisa, or at least it follows the same Shitta, and we see, therefore, that's only Rabbi Yossi saying that. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that when it's Mechubo Lekarka, you're not allowed to. But that's a Das Yochid. Evidently, the Chachamim disagree with him. So the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yossi, he says that when there's Dabar Avod and it's already detached from the ground, then we just said on Amud Aleph that you don't need a Shinui at all. Well, if you don't need a Shinui, why can't you use cows to thresh the grain? Why would you need to use a stick instead? Rabbi Yitzchak answers because, as a matter of fact, Mantana Shinui, we just said. So that's the question. The Rabbi Yossi Yodosh Reporis, Yodosh Nami Reporis, Ha Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'aba, didn't we just say that Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'aba said, Man Tana Shini B'moyed B'dava Ovid Deloike Rabbi Yossi, that only the opinions other than Rabbi Yossi would require you to make a Shinui on Chalamoyed? Rabbi Yossi himself, in one sense, Rabbi Yossi is Mahmir, namely that he says that where it's attached to the ground, you can't do anything with it on Cholamoyed, even the Dover Ovud. But on the other hand, he's being Makel and saying that when you are allowed to do something with a Dover Ovud, you don't need a Shinui. Well, in this case, if it's detached from the ground and we're saying that then you're allowed to do the Malacha with it on Cholamoyed, then Rabbi Yossi wouldn't require you to do a Shinui. So why is this Braisa saying that if we're saying that this Braisa is according to Rabbi Yossi, then why would you need a Shinui? The answer is Amalach. The answer is Hochinami, because he also given the Kol Yom Alav the Polish Daishi, because even during the rest of the year you don't necessarily thresh using cows. Sometimes instead you have a smaller amount of grain and you beat it with sticks. Ha'idnanami Lav Shinuihu. So therefore now also it's not really considered a Shinui. So in other words, the fact that we're saying you can't use cows, it's not really in order to make a Shinui. Because it's not really a Shinui. The rest of the year also, you don't necessarily use cows. The reason is because Avsham Milsa, you don't want to give big publicity to the fact that you're doing Malacha on Chalamoyed. And to use cows makes a big to-do, and therefore people see that you're doing Malacha on Chalamoyed. So even Rabbi Yossi, so that's why Rabbi Yossi would say, don't use poros, because it's not a question of Rabbi Yossi is saying you have to make a Shinui, but Rabbi Yossi wants that it should be that you don't want to make something that's going to involve a lot of publicity, which there would be if you're using poros. Okay, but in any case, Rabbi Huna is saying that whole concept is only according to Rabbi Yossi, according to the Chachamim. So now the halacha would actually be, the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi in that regard. You are allowed to do a davar ha'avod even if it's attached to the ground. For example, we said you're allowed to water a field. So we said, usually, though, you wouldn't be allowed to harvest a field because just harvest it after Chalamoyed, unless you don't have what to eat. But even then, we still do accept Rabbi Yossi's opinion to the extent that we said to Avad Shalai Yodosh Kaporos, you still can't do it in a way that's going to have a lot of publicity. So more on that topic. Tonan Abanan, Toichnin B'moyed L'tzorech HaMoyed, you're allowed to grind flour on Chalamoyed where you need the flour for Chalamoyed. B'shaloy L'tzorech HaMoyed also, but if you're doing it in order to use the flour after Chalamoyed, then it would be also. The Imtochan V'hoysir, if you ground on Chalamoyed and you had some left over, you ended up, by mistake, grinding more than you needed, Hareza Motor, then you're allowed to save the rest for after Chalamoyed. Similarly, you're allowed to chop wood on Chalamoyed for the sake, because you're going to be using it on Chalamoyed, but Shaloy Letzorech HaMoyed Osir, but not when you're using the wood, not when you're going to use the wood after Chalamoyed. But again, if he chopped wood and he had some left over, had his motor, then he's allowed to use it after Chalamoyed. Similarly, Matilin Sheikha B'moyed L'tzorech HaMoyed, you're allowed to brew beer on Chalamoyed, where you're going to be able to drink it during Chalamoyed, B'shaloy L'tzorech HaMoyed also, but not if you're only going to be, not if it's only going to be ready after Chalamoyed. V'im hito v'hoyso harezem motor. Again, if you brewed beer and you had some left over that you planned to drink during Chalamoyed, and then you had some left over, then it's motor. With all these cases, uvil vad shalo yari, you're not allowed to play a trick You're not allowed to say to begin with that, you know what, I'm doing this all for Chol HaMoed, and then you deliberately go and do much more than you need for Chol HaMoed and say, yeah, but I have extra. That you're not allowed to do. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that you're Rovad Shel Yarim or Reminu? I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Matilim Sheikha B'moed L'Tzorech HaMoed. You are allowed to brew beer on Chol HaMoed where you need it for Chol HaMoed. V'Shaloy L'Tzorech HaMoed also. If you're not doing it where you need it to drink on Chol HaMoed, so it's not going to be ready, or you don't need the supply of beer during Chol HaMoed, then it's also Echad Sheikha Tzmonim V'Echad Sheikha Sarim. This applies whether we're talking about beer made from dates or made from barley. But the Braisa continues, V'Afa Pisha Yeshla Yashan, even if you have old beer available, Marim V'Shoisim in a Chodesh, you're still allowed to make a Harama and say, you know what, I want new beer. So in other words, you're preparing beer on Chol HaMoed where you already have a supply, but you're allowed to do a Harama and say, you know what, I'm making this beer because I don't like my old beer anymore. I want to have new beer. So you're allowed to do that. So you see, you are allowed to do a Harama, and then you're going to wind up saving the new beer for after Chol HaMoed. So the first Braisa says you're not allowed to be Marim, and the second Braisa says you are. The answer is Tanoi. It's actually Machlokas Tanoim. The Tanya Ein Marim in Bekach. A Braisa says that you're not allowed to do a Harama with that. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, Omer Marimin. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda says you could. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, you're allowed to do such a thing. The Rambam paskins that you are allowed to. The Ravid asks on that, what is the Rambam doing? He's paskining like Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, das yochid. So again, the answer might be that since it's Chol HaMoed and we're talking about dinim d'rabbanan, then therefore we can be makel and follow even a das yochid. So in this connection, since we mentioned about harvesting grain, and we said that the exception is you're allowed to harvest it where you need grain on Chol HaMoed, where you don't have any in your house right now. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Rav one time had, they harvested his field on Chol HaMoed. Shama Shmuel Ikbad. Shmuel heard about it, and he was upset. Because what are you doing, having your field harvested on Chol HaMoed? So the question is, Lema Shmuel ki yichidas v'rablei. Does that mean that Shmuel holds like the Das Yochid, like Rabbi Yosi that we said before that says it's also? And the answer is loy chatzta dechiti hava. The difference is that this was a harvest of wheat. So in other words, before we said that Rabbi Yosi said that if it's attached to the ground, then you're not allowed to do it even once a dover avod. The Gemara is assuming in the hava mina that we're talking about where if he hadn't harvested during Chol HaMoed, there would be a loss. And yet Shmuel is upset that Rav had it done during Chol HaMoed. So the answer is loy chatzta dechiti hava. It was a harvest of wheat. Do I have a posid that therefore it's not going to get ruined if he leaves it till after Chol HaMoed? So Shmuel is saying that being the case, then the pastures, if it's not going to get ruined if you leave it till after Chol HaMoed and you have plenty of food in your house, then you should leave it as is. So for Rav, my time of an hochi. Okay, so in that case, what was Rav thinking? And the answer is, the case was that he didn't have food in his house. He didn't have wheat in his house. And we said before, you are allowed to do it. We don't require you to go buy food from, we don't require you to go buy wheat from the store. Or Shmuel. So then we're back to the question, then why is Shmuel upset? And the reason is, because they didn't finish the story. They told him that Rav had had his field of wheat harvested on Chol HaMoed. They didn't tell him the detail that Rav didn't have wheat in his house at the time. Inami Odom Choshev Shaini, or another possibility is that again, it's an Odom Choshev, Rav is an Odom Choshev, he has to be machmir on himself more, and because other people are going to learn from him, so even Eimlei Mayoichel, Shmuel holds that Rav should have been machmir on himself, go buy wheat from the store, rather than having his field harvested on Chol HaMoed to provide wheat for him. To be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem.